From the shadows of the radio towers, this is the Gay PHX Podcast. Your community radio on demand.
It's gonna be a good day. And everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
This week on the Gay PHX Podcast, we're closing out more than just another episode. It's the last interview and the final podcast of the year and the end of season one. So before we jump into anything else, we need to start with some gratitude. Thank you to everyone who's listening, who shared an episode, who submitted events, who sent messages, who stopped us at the bars or at shows and community gatherings, and reminded us why this work matters. This podcast and everything growing around it exists because people show up. And there's something personal I need to say out loud. This summer, I didn't just have a heart attack. I actually died. And I was lucky enough to come back. And that return changed how I see everything. And it made the support from this community mean more than I could ever explain. You gave Brian and me space. You gave us time. You checked in. You let me heal. And when I was ready to come back to the mic, you came back to listen. And in a world overflowing with content, noise and distractions, the fact that you returned, that you still tune in, and that you check in on the station means everything to me, my husband, and the growing community connected through these channels. That's why we're here. We're here to build community. And for anyone who wants to jump on board, there's room for you. We also want to take a moment to thank one of the people who's helped support this show and this community this year, the tax person, Amanda Renfrew. She's trauma-informed, inclusive, and helps individuals, creatives, and small businesses like ourselves stay ahead so the tax season doesn't feel so overwhelming. We're so grateful for her support and the way she shows up for this community. And that spirit of care and connection is exactly what today's conversation reflects. Later in the show, we're sitting down with Lauren Chandler, a local artist who's helping Phoenix reconnect with handmade fashions, slow crafting, and the joy of creating something real in a fast fashion world. Lauren shows how crochet and fiber arts became a grounding force during the pandemic, and how creating with your hands can be its own kind of mental health support, and why building queer-affirming DIY communities matter so much right now. It's a thoughtful, honest conversation about creativity, identity, and making space for joy, one stitch at a time. And we'll get to that in a bit, but first, a couple quick reminders before we wrap up the year. If there's an event you want listed on gayphx.com, it's completely free. Just click Submit Events. There's no paywall, because the best way to support community is to actually show what's happening. And if you've been checking out music.kphx.com, you're not alone. People are finding it from all around the world, and growth is up 141% just this past week. That tells us that what we're building together is resonating, and we couldn't be more excited about what's coming next. All right, before we dive into today's interview, it's time to check in on what's hot, what's happening, and what you absolutely should not miss before we close out the year. Let's lift the rainbow-tinted microphone and hand things over to Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, for this week's Hot 3.
You're listening to Gay PHX, where community comes first.
Hey, 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 it's your Desert Den Daddy, Brian, broadcasting from the last week of the year, where Phoenix is collectively saying, maybe my 2025 problems won't catch me if I run fast enough in a onesie. The calendar is gasping for air, the valley is polishing its leather, and every bar in town is throwing a party that doubles as a bad decision generator with drink specials. This week we are zipping up into cozy chaos, lighting cigars and intentions, and stepping into 2026 with leather, chrome, and courage you cannot buy in stores. From the shadows of the radio towers, this is Brian's Hot 3, where glitter isn't sprinkled, it's launched. Innuendo is a valid hydration method, and a new year, new me, lasts until the second tequila hits. If you need a soft place to land, a hard place to stare, or a reason to stay out past midnight, Daddy's got options, so let's get into it. Hot pick number one, Paddo's Bunkhouse, onesie party night, New Year's Eve. Wednesday, December 31st, starting at 8 o'clock. Slip into your warmest onesie, your cutest pajamas, or something the fire marshal might have opinions about. DJ Danny G and Jack Daddy Dave are on deck, and the floor is cozy, chaotic, and the countdown is communal. There's going to be a pizza drop at 11:30, champagne toast at midnight, herding hugs is encouraged, boundaries respected, and vibes immaculate. Bring a friend, bring a crush, bring a teddy bear that's seen things. Because the only thing we're leaving behind in 2025 is the idea we ever celebrated this quietly. Hot pick number two, Newtown, the Bluff New Year's Eve Cigar Social. December 31st at 9 p.m. Leather, camaraderie, intention, setting smoke rings. Hosted by Master Adam, Mr. Newtown Phoenix 2025, and the Arizona Men of Leather. This is New Year's Eve for grown-ups who know exactly who they are and what they stand for. Bring your favorite cigar or purchase on site. Each cigar bought enters you into a premium prize drawing at 11:30. Leather Pride Flag Zippo, Whiskey Glasses and Cigar Ashtray Combos, Frame Leather Lithographs, Bragging Rights to Carry into 2026. This is one room where the year changes on purpose, one spark, one toast, one new beginning. Hot pick number three, Pat O's Bunkhouse, Chrome, January 3rd, 9 p.m. to close. It's a $10 cover and it's a 21 plus and over crowd only, please. The lights drop low, the chrome starts to shine, and everyone suddenly remembers their resolutions started after this weekend. Leather, latex, lust, not explicit, but no one's pretending they're here to crochet. DJ Emerson, Hi Sir, and a surprise guest are building a soundtrack for the bold, the curious, and the gloriously deviant. Live kink and BDSM demos, respectful, safe, and on theme. Beer tenders keeping you hydrated and heroic. A room full of people who left fear at the coat check. If 2026 needs a first chapter, make it one you reread. Phoenix, that's your hot three. Before I slip back into the night, I want to thank you. Every listen, every share, every body in motion, because this little segment turns broadcast into connection and glitter into the community. It isn't just a podcast, it's a pulse, a check-in, a reminder that queer joy doesn't evaporate when the calendar flips. We do have you, and that heartbeat is louder than anything we could ever build. It carries a signal through kitchens, cars, bars, earbuds, and bedrooms across the valley. And that's power. So stay safe, stay bold, stay hydrated because daddy worries, and just stay dangerous enough to remember you're alive. Until next time, coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, your Desert Den Daddy, and that's what's hot.
Want all the details? Head over to GabePHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Buns are warm and the dogs are hot. The picnic dogs, the best they've got. Grab your pals, don't be late. And Roro Dog, it's a tasty day. Roro Dog, hey, serving smiles all day. Roro Dog, whoa, tastes so good you'll wanna stay. From the grill to the groove, come join the crowd. And Roro Dog, we're proud and loud. Yeah, it's Wiener Wednesday, come on down. Half off wieners all over town. Big buns, big fun, bring your friends to play. You know it's Roro Dog all the way. Ayo.
This is what community sounds like.
I'm Daddy Dave, your friend in the fight to end stigma. And I'm the founder of Team Friendly, here today to talk about DoxyPep. Are you hooking up, living your best life? Keep it hot and healthy with DoxyPep, a little pill that helps protect you against STIs after sex. DoxyPep. Doxy is short for doxycycline. And PEP is an abbreviation of post-exposure prophylaxis, meaning taking a pill after sex. You've probably heard of PrEP, which is pre-exposure prophylaxis. That's taking meds before being exposed to HIV. But DoxyPep goes like this. Take one doxycycline dose soon after sex, for sure within 72 hours. This helps prevent bacterial infections such as syphilis, chlamydia, and gonorrhea. If doxycycline sounds familiar to you, yes, it also treats STDs. Ask your provider if DoxyPep is right for you. And if your provider doesn't know about DoxyPep, inform them. Or find a provider that meets your full sexual health needs. Live your best life with DoxyPep.
This is Amanda Renfrew, enrolled agent with The Tax Person with your tax year countdown. Gender-affirming care, including prescriptions, therapy, certain surgeries, and travel tied to treatment, may qualify as medical deductions. Track every eligible expense. Get support with a free 15-minute consult at thetaxperson.com or look for me as The Tax Person on socials.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Today on Gay PHX, we're talking with a local artist who's helping Phoenix reconnect with handmade fashion, slow crafting, and the joy of creating something real in a fast fashion world. Their story stretches from deep Phoenix roots into a pandemic spark journey into fiber arts, and now they're growing a DIY community built on connection and creativity. Let's welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Aaron Chandler.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know we've been Facebook friends for quite a while, and this is like our first actual conversation.
I know, right? Yeah. So, I'm glad to talk to you, like in words now.
Yes, verbally.
I know.
Let's start with when someone asks you what you create, how do you describe your art in your own words?
I start off by hoping, I don't get mad when people don't know the difference between knitting and crochet, but if I am describing it to them, I hope they might already know that. If I don't, I just tell them that it's the easier version of knitting, which is not true at all, and I'll have things like thrown at me for that. But when you're explaining it to somebody who isn't familiar with like fiber arts and stuff, I don't get my feelings hurt when they call it knitting, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's not. The terminology is important, but I basically just take strings and keep turning them into knots until it's the shape that I like. And that is weirdly therapeutic and weirdly like grounding for me. And when you get to the point in your skill level where you can really just start doing your own designs and stuff, like that's when I went from being like a craft to like an art for me, is when I could really express myself like through it. It's hard to describe how that happens exactly, but
let's go back. How did crocheting first end up in your hands?
So it ended up in my hands during the pandemic. I was sick at home, like a lot of people were, and I'd gotten all my jabs, all my shots. So I just got it the good old-fashioned way. And my mom was going to the store, and I had some yarn from a yarn project that I had abandoned like ages ago. And I was knitting, and I was trying to learn. I still not learned knitting yet, not well enough to actually do it. But I understand the concept, but. Anyway, I just asked her to get me a crochet hook because I'm like, hell, I'll try crocheting with this stuff and see if at least I can like get rid of this yarn or something and make a hat. And I started about 8 different projects and started them over because I'm like, oh, wait, this is fun. I can do this. Oh, wait, I can do this. And I've never been good at following a recipe. So very quickly, I learned that I'm like a sampler from patterns. I don't really ever do the whole thing. But it really started as a pandemic activity, like a lot of people's like handcrafts were. I've met a lot of people who started like that. It's funny.
And at what point did it go from hobby into mental health, or was it mental health because of the situation?
Yeah, definitely. I wasn't stuck at home for too long, thankfully. I didn't get like horribly sick, or I didn't have to go to the hospital, thank God. A lot of people did, and just actually thinking about that, I'm like, oh yeah, trauma. Like that all happened. But I was still stuck inside. I've always struggled with depression and anxiety at very clinically diagnosable levels. And so having something that wasn't a medication and wasn't like some kind of like therapy modality that I like, crochet certainly could be taught in therapy, but that's not ultimately what it's for. It's for creating stuff. And it wasn't delivered to me by the healthcare like system. It was delivered to me by just looking it up online and going, oh, like people seem to really use this as a way to meditate without meditating, meditate with your hands, if you will.
I can understand completely because my husband, he was trying to walk for his health and he got really bored just walking and he saw people looking at their phones. He's like, what's everyone doing? And he learned about Pokemon Go. So that became therapeutic for him. And then that helped him walk. And then now it's his anxiety. And now he's always on the phone.
Now it's just Pokemon Go causing anxiety.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I love that. Exactly. It's, you know, unfortunately, we have to admit, I've always been like a little bit of a nerd, like kind of an indoors versus outdoors kid. But there is, unfortunately, a component physically to like dealing with depression and anxiety. Like, you've got to be, I crochet inside, don't get me wrong, but there has to be some kind of like fitness or physical element to it, because it does have a lot to do with not being connected with your body as much. And yeah.
And getting everything flowing and moving.
Exactly. Yeah. And if that's on your feet running around chasing, oh God, I can't think of any Snorlax. There we go. I think that's great too, though. It's awesome.
I guess you really can't crochet and walk at the same time unless you had like a pack or.
Yeah. Oh, I've got like a thing that hangs from my wrist. I've totally crocheted like in line at the airport.
Oh.
As long as I don't have to like watch something and walk. If it's a path or something, I've gone on like walks with my mom at the park, and I want to bring my little like kit and see if I can do it while we're walking. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Maybe once you get it to where you don't have to pay attention to the walk, you just inhabit, then you can.
Yeah. I'm not totally eyes off the hook. Like, I still have to watch what I'm doing. So it would be, right now it'd be a little treacherous. Maybe in the future. Yeah.
Okay, so help a layman like myself understand the difference between crocheting and knitting then. Because you're using the same materials, but you're using a different apparatus, stick. I'm not sure what you call it.
Exactly, hook. Yeah. No, that's basically it. You're using a different tool, but you're using the same material. And when there are companies that sell like knitting yarn or crochet yarn, but there is no actual real difference at all. As a matter of fact, with crochet especially, you can crochet with all kinds of unconventional materials, which is part of the reason it's fun. But crochet, like you knit in lines, like you knit in rows, basically. Like you knit like row by row. And when you like make a mistake, quite often you have to take out the whole row or like a huge portion of it. And like to this day, I have not mastered knitting. I can do a couple rows off of the, I call it a chain because I crochet, but that's not what it's called in knitting. But but so the easiest way to think of it is that you knit in rows like a machine, like knits in rows.
Right.
If you've never seen a knitting machine, it's the same thing. It's just you're doing it with your hands. And crochet is knot by knot. So you're creating really a three-dimensional shape with each knot. And you're trying to do it in a square or a rectangle or a circle to get specific shaped pieces of fabric, basically.
Right.
So that's how I'd probably to try and make it easy, I would just say it's knitting is in rows and crochet is knot by knot.
Knot by knot. Okay.
Yeah. Knot by knot. Yeah. And beyond that, I would kind of have to show you because it's hard. It is hard to describe the difference. So that's why I'm not mad when people, they don't immediately recognize what I'm doing. And they're like, oh, my grandma knitted. And I don't go, that's nice, but I crochet. Like, I'm not going to, that would be silly. So I just go, thank you so much. That's great.
So what's one of the funnest things you've crocheted?
The funnest thing I've crocheted, I think I just finished it. It's a shawl, the rectangular shawl. So it's like a blanket too, about like it's 6.5 feet long by 3 feet wide, or the other way around, whatever. It's a rectangle. But it's black bars with this like red and yellow, blue, like variegated yarn in between. And I've done like more complicated stuff before, but I love just making barred patterns with color and kind of playing with the color progression. So I think that one right now. I also made a big rainbow cake. Like the when those rainbow like slices of cake were big.
Right.
I made like a blanket basically based on that. Like I did all the colors like spaced with white, and it was a big fluffy yarn. So that actually, I think I changed my answer. That was the most fun. Yeah. Anything that, with a rainbow is fun.
Love rainbows. We love our, yes. So how do fiber arts intersect with the queer creativity and community then for you?
I think fiber arts in general has been a like predominantly female occupied profession or craft or whatever. It's an art, but it's not. And because it is associated with like women and womanhood, it is put in second place at all times to any art form that's dominated by men, or seems to be. I saw that most of the people who are artists and are painters right now are women, but the top like 100 artists in all the world, like 89 of them are men, you know, and it's just like there's a huge imbalance there that just does not make sense. And so I think that it has to do not just with the queer culture, but the femininity and queer culture, and also being like a gay man who's into fiber arts. And I think to straight people, sometimes they think that being gay is the same thing as being like a woman or something, or somehow born with like interior decorating knowledge and things like that.
Yes.
It's because we were raised with our moms watching Designing Women, because just, like, we learned that we weren't born with this knowledge. Going into the crafting world, it is like female dominated, and I have this feeling of almost fuck yeah, it should be. Like, it, as far as the queer community, I think it's been a place for queer people to express themselves in ways that like aren't always possible with other stuff. Like, some of the best quilters in the world who win championships and stuff, they're gay dudes. It's because they grew up with feminine influence associated with that and fell in love with it.
And when we go into something, we go all in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, I love that too. Like, there's like the level of passion we're able to have for art. I think straight people have access to that too, but I think it's just in a different way. And the queer community, we do have this opportunity to help each other express ourselves while doing it ourselves. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know. Yeah. That's what I want to get started too with the group and stuff. But yeah.
So tell us more about the group that you're trying to get going.
Yes. So I have not found a good name for it. Generally, such groups are called like Stitch and Bitch groups or something, where you just get together with your friends, you sit down with whatever you're working on, and you order some coffee, or wherever you're at, you order some of that, and you hang out and you talk about the craft and you talk about whatever's going on. And you talk. The only reason I have any desire to put like a queer label on the group is because I want to make it abundantly obvious that your queerness is not going to be challenged in this place. There is a little bit of a conservative overlap sometimes with crafting, like corners and communities.
Right.
And every once in a while you walk into a shop where you're like, oh, they're looking at me funny. But I've not had any bad experiences, but I did grow up in the South.
No, I know what you mean, because we do crafting and lasers and stuff, and sometimes we'll see something interesting and we'll walk in and then we'll realize this has a lot of religious overtones. We better leave.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we're not unwelcome yet, but
Well, and my husband and I have very bright color hair, so we... when we walk in, start to get the stairs, and we're like, ooh, not our place.
I guess I've dyed my hair all sorts of crazy colors, and I think it helps me figure out who I can talk to and who's just going to be like a dick or whatever.
Right.
You know, immediately when they see your hair, if they're going to be difficult.
Because if they have an issue with it, then they won't talk to me. If they think it's cool, then they'll come up and say something, and it helps sparks conversation because I'm shy. I know it doesn't seem like it, but I am, especially to strangers.
I love that. That's like I don't want to say a gimmick, but to get that going.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what inspired the name Spider Monkey Fiber Arts?
So the first one that I had was, the first name that I thought of was called I Dream of Beanie.
I love that.
I know. I love that too. And the thing is, I wanted to find something that nobody else had. And I put that into Google, and I found one person on Facebook who is active right now who has the, like, name, and they're, like they're actually posting stuff. It's not, like, a dead account or something. So I'm like, okay, I would literally presuming my own fame to such, like, I don't want to overshadow that.
But I understand. You want to try and build your own. You don't want to.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, I understand.
And I don't want that to be a conversation later on with somebody like, hey, give me the name that you thought of first. So I was thinking, like, I wanted it to be blank fiber arts. I don't know why, but I liked the term fiber arts because it allows me to also do things like vintage clothes, getting into like machine knitting, stuff like that. So that way I'm not locked into just like crochet and knitting. So I like,
you can be upscale.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I could see where I wanted to go with that. Plus, I want there to be an aspect of whatever fiber art it is. If you're doing needlepoint or anything, if it's transportable to a cafe, it can be part of the group. But Spider Monkey, spiders have this like folklore of being like weavers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And monkeys, my nickname is Monkey. I've been called Monkey before. And it, like, I love that monkeys come with this connotation of being like curious and brave, but like a little stupidly brave at times.
Naively? Know, like, naive.
Yeah.
I'll say naive.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Willing to put themselves in a little danger in order to learn something new. And I don't know why I liked that idea, but I thought, what's the monk? There's only really one North American monkey. It's a spider monkey. And like, even how they got to North America is actually a weird story for a different podcast episode. Anyway, I obviously went down a Googling Wikipedia hole for this, but for some reason, Spider Monkey Fiber Arts, the name of it really rang to me. And I haven't found anybody else calling themselves that yet. So I got the Etsy store. I got the Big Cartel store anyway. So
oh, nice. We'll see. Excellent. Awesome. And how do you thrift and find vintage fashion to connect to the other parts of the fiber arts?
In just developing this idea, I went through all of the clothing. I do this a couple times a year. I go through all my clothes. I figure out what I want to give straight to Goodwill, what I want to sell. Like, if I'm like, okay, I spent a little money on this. Let's see if Buffalo Exchange or something wants it. And I sold enough stuff to where I got like $200 from them or something. And nice. I was like, oh my God, this is, and I did not spend $200 on what I gave them. So I was like, okay, that was accidentally like awesome. And I love weird vintage fun clothing and stuff. And I would honestly love a chance to just do like maybe even videos and stuff with Get Ready With Me's. And I don't know, like, it's still like a loose idea, but I think also like having the pieces that I buy be up for sale. There's so many times I've brought home a shirt that's almost the perfect size and I'm like, damn it, it was the only one, but I could sell this thing. And I just, that's the kind of actioning that I guess.
That sounds like it should be a video podcast with the opportunity to purchase what they see in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking that. And Instagram, I like am ironically like old when it comes to fucking social media. So I am not good at getting posts out there and stuff. I'm learning, like I'm doing YouTube videos on like how to be better at Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I'm like 95.
Hey, I learned a lot of stuff from YouTube.
You
I learned a lot of stuff from YouTube.
Yes. Oh, that, well, I learned crochet from YouTube.
Oh, nice.
I've never taken a legit class in my life. And I'm not like necessarily bragging. I need and want to. But no, you can learn everything you need to learn as a like in the wild crochet artist.
So quick story. Mom didn't want me to have more dogs. Friend passed. I didn't want the dogs to be homeless or go into the system and be separated. They were traumatized enough. So I built room because I learned it all from YouTube so that I could have a room for them to be that was air conditioned and give them a place to live. And my mom thought I was insane.
Maybe, but insane in the good way.
Though. Right.
That's great.
I told her, I said, you're making me pick between trying to be a good son or a good person. And I wanted to be both.
Yeah. No kidding. That's a good way to put that, too. No, I love that. Yeah, I'm not saying you need to rewire your own house.
Right.
Leave some stuff for the professional. But the amount of stuff you can get done on YouTube just by sitting there for a 12-minute video is astounding. Like, I basically accidentally revolutionized my mental health on YouTube.
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny because I think of Leonardo da Vinci and back in those days, and they're like, oh, he was such a great inventor. Oh, he did all these things. I was like, we can still do all those things. We don't have to stay to one thing.
And imagine a world where all of the, for every one Leonardo, even back then, there was 20 not Leonardo, not equal geniuses who are not being recognized.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And even today, it's like now with our access to the internet and YouTube and instructional stuff like this, you can have an artist of any kind blow up basically anywhere. And that's really cool.
Right. It increases the intensity that you have to be as far as how good you have to be because there's so much talent out there.
I learned really quick, like you need to be not, I don't want to sound like ultra capitalistic, like offering something the others don't, but you do a little.
Right.
And so part of that is in the personality too, with I want to do bitch and bitch sessions on Twitch at some point. And I've yet to find an audience for that, but I want to wrangle 10 or 12 people, even if they're not like heavy crafters, just to get it kicked off or something.
Right.
But yeah, like, oh my God, That, there goes my train of thought. There it goes.
It happens.
Wow.
It's a podcast.
Yeah.
We can edit.
That's me sober. Yeah. Well. yeah. Can you repeat the question?
Oh, we've gone down a path. So I
died. We did. Yeah. I know. Yeah.
But I do have another question is, what direction are you dreaming about taking for 2026?
For 2026, a little bit, just the direction of getting back on my feet a little bit in all parts of life. But I want, like, I want to turn Spider Monkey Fiber Arts into something that is both silly and joyful, but that I have a little bit of pride sharing with people and talking to people about. I really think when you think you're onto something, but it's hard to describe to people exactly what until you've done it. But you can show people,
yes,
like, this is what I meant. Like, that's, at first, it was just going to be the name of the Etsy shop, and mm-hmm, that was just going to be my logo or whatever. But I really want to build something that I can create things with other people and include that as well. And I would love to sell other people's work on my website if they would even want me to.
I understand. As someone who's building a radio station, I know exactly what you're talking about.
God, I imagine.
Because it was all talk until I could show them, and now people can see and experience, and now I want to bring people's voices on so that this sounds like our community, and yours is one of those. So I really appreciate you coming on here and doing this with us.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been great.
Now, for someone who's listening who wants to get started in crocheting but feels intimidated, what's the best way to begin?
I would take to YouTube, as we have discussed.
Right.
I would, there are a couple really good, I think, like, good with beginners channels. And then I think there are ones that are a little bit better for if you're in that, like, you've got the skill already and you're just wanting to learn more. TNL Yarn Crafts, or TL Yarn Crafts, I think, on YouTube. But I watched her videos. She is such a friendly person, and she does an amazing job of explaining regular crochet. She has beginner videos on Tunisian crochet, which is basically, like, whatever I told you about knitting and crochet earlier, screw that and then combine it, and that's Tunisian crochet. It's confusing, but it's really, it's amazing stuff. But anyway, get with somebody like her on YouTube and go down to Michael's, get yourself a $5 ball of yarn and a $2 crochet hook, and sit down with one of her videos. Like, that, it took me about 45 minutes of figuring it out before I was able to make something like rectangular. And I think, as far as new skills go, that's a pretty low curve. You know what I mean? So, because, like, knitting, I tried knitting for ages, and I've watched a lot of great videos for knitting, and I still haven't picked up on that. But any newbies who are scared of crochet, buy some chunky yarn and don't be afraid to fuck it up.
Just go for it.
You can always undo it, is the best part. With crochet, you just pull it, unravel it, and try it again. Oh,
nice.
Oh, yeah. Knitting, you can't always do that. You can sometimes, but, like, sometimes where you go, it, like, you stop there and you can't pull it out and redo it. But with most crochet, like, styles and stitches, you can just undo what you did and try again if it doesn't look right. I've deleted and redone whole projects two or three times because I just couldn't get this one part right. And there is a little bit of perfectionism in there too, but I love that, like, you have that ability. So anyway.
Yeah. I love being able to edit and undo. As I've mentioned before, I am a very heavily important edited podcast.
I will never do something perfect the first time. It's just not going. Yeah. Yeah.
So where can listeners follow and support you online?
I am at Spider Monkey Fiber Art on Instagram, and I will probably be changing the URL to my actual website soon. Right now, it's really clunky. spider-monkey-fiber-art@bigcartel.com. I hope to be taking the dashes out of that, but right now, just go to my Instagram. It's probably the easiest way to find my stuff, and that's where I'll be posting things like when and where I'll be on Twitch, stuff like that.
Excellent. Lauren, again, thank you so very much for coming on. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here and share your story with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to get this out there a little bit. So I really appreciate this.
Pride lives here.
Have you ever ordered a harness online only to realize when you get it that it's basically a rubber band with a dream? Yeah, we've all been there. Are you ready to turn heads? Your new favorite harness or accessory is right at your fingertips. At strapupcustomgear.com, you're in control. Think of it as the Build-A-Bear of fetish wear, only sweatier, sexier, and way more fun. You pick the style of harness or accessory, the colors, patterns, and the hardware. You can make it subtle, make it loud, make it you. Every harness is handmade to your specifications, fully adjustable, animal-free, and pool-safe, because you deserve gear that can keep up in and out of the spotlight, the pool, or the bedroom. With inclusive sizing from extra small all the way to 6X, we've got you covered with countless options that pop harder than your ex's jealousy. Whether you're serving looks at Pride, dancing in the club, or just doing laundry in full fantasy, you deserve better than a cookie-cutter harness. So it's time for you to build a baddie, not a basic. Handmade in Denver. Follow us on Insta at Strap Up Custom Gear and shop now at strapupcustomgear.com.
Huzzah! Welcome to All Queer Shakespeare, the world's first all LGBTQIA+ Shakespearean theater company. Tickets are on sale for our latest show. Check us out at allqueershakespeare.com. It's a gay old time.
Another reason we love this community.
As we wrap up this episode, we're also closing the book on something bigger. This is the final interview and the final podcast episode of the year and the close of season one of the Gay PHX podcast. And before anything else, we need to say thank you. Thank you to every single guest who trusted us with their stories this past year. Artists and organizers, performers, activists, musicians, creatives, small business owners, and community builders. You all showed up. You shared your honesty, and you helped shape what this podcast became. Season one simply wouldn't exist without you. As we look ahead to 2026, we're excited, energized, and ready to evolve. As we launch the Gay PHX station, we're officially retooling the podcast for season two, where we're finding how episodes are assembled, streamlining production, and making it easier for us to show up consistently each week now that we're running a full station along the podcast. This work is already underway, and you'll hear a difference next year. But we also want to be honest with you. We're still deep in the build of the station scheduler, and it's a big build. It's a foundational infrastructure, and it takes time, and we're building it while keeping all of our other projects moving forward. So thank you for bearing with us during those growing pains. We promise it's worth it. And with all the work that's happening behind the scenes, something pretty incredible is happening across the world. Music.gayphx.com is being discovered globally. Sweden, we see you. Ireland, we see you too. We're absolutely loving that you're finding our community through music. In just the last week, the traffic to music.gayphx.com is up 141%, and it keeps growing as more people discover what queer creators here in Phoenix and beyond are making. That tells us we're building something right. And it's been a lot of hard work. But we took time over the Christmas holiday with chosen family and friends, and that pause reminds us exactly why we do this. What inspires us isn't systems or stats, it's you. It's the people we meet, the conversations that we have, the incredible things happening across Phoenix every single week that deserve to be seen and celebrated. That's what Gay PHX exists to do. Pool parties, game nights, movie nights, rallies, community moments, big and small. If we learned about it, we captured it, and 2026 is going to be packed. And remember, if there's an event you want listed on GayPHX.com, it's free. Simply click Submit Event and help us make sure that nothing amazing slips through the cracks. If you or a friend have music that you've created and want to share with the community, music.gayphx.com is exactly where you should send it. That platform exists for you. We also want to give a heartfelt thanks to the partners who helped make this year possible: Amanda Renfrew, the tax person, Lookout News, Team Friendly, The Queer Center, Live Nation, and a special shout out to Freddie at Arizona Shipping and Printing, a true community supporter. You can see some of our 3D prints in person at their Phoenix or Glendale locations, and if you're nearby, stop in and check them out. Before we go, there's one more thank you that we need to say out loud. This podcast and everything that's grown around it introduced us to so many incredible people this year. People we met because of the podcast, people we met through events, people we simply met because of showing up and we started talking. To every new person we met in 2025, thank you. You made this year richer, warmer, and so much more meaningful. A few shout outs we want to name because you deserve to hear it. Earl Grey, Dan Dan, Donnie and Chris from Roro Dogs, Pup Maya, Copper, and the Amory Pack with Delos, Apollo, and Dante.
we know that we just barely scratched the surface with these names. And if we tried to name everyone, it'd sound like the digital arts credit at the end of a Marvel movie. And I know we'd forget someone important. So hearing this and thinking, hey, that's me, it is. Thank you for the conversations. Thank you for the laughs. Thank you for the hugs, the encouragements, the trust, and the openness. And finally, an extra special thank you to Mike and Nick from the Arizona Men of Leather. Your continued support and encouragement helped make this a huge part of 2025. And you didn't just cheer us on, you pushed us. You helped us turn ideas we talked about for years into real needs, real action, and real momentum. And we truly can't thank you enough. To all of our partners, collaborators, guests, listeners, and friends, thank you. 2026 is shaping up to be the biggest year yet for GayPHX, and we cannot contain the excitement. We're so glad that you're here, and we're honored that you're joining us on this wacky, meaningful, very queer ride. From all of us, thank you. We'll see you in season two.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.